Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. The term abomination means is really, if you study Old Testament sin theology, it's really another level of sin. Because when I studied the different gradations, we would call them, of sin in the Bible, I know sin is sin, and sin can be forgiven. Any transgression against God is a transgression against God. However, if you study Scripture, there were differences in degrees of punishment in Old Testament sin. And this is one of those abomination things that is a detestable thing before God. In fact, the Hebrew term here actually has the sense of making God nauseous. Making God sick, if you could. Make him sick to his stomach, if it would be possible. Lying is an abomination to the Lord. Now notice Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about the new man, verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off. Somebody say put off. Put off. We put off concerning your former man, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true holiness and righteousness. The next verse says, therefore put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Put off lying. Lying represents the old man. Lying represents the old life. Truth represents the new man. And speaking truth represents the new life. So one preacher said, you may never be more like the devil than when you're lying. You may never be more like the devil than when you're lying. So no raising of hands or no shouting out, please. How many of you, and I'm serious, have told a lie in the past 24 hours? We're in church, Hans. Did you know a recent University of Massachusetts study said that 60% of people surveyed said they cannot meet a new person and have a 10-minute conversation with them without telling at least one lie. So this is where we are in society. But you may not be more like the devil than in any other time than when you're lying. Jesus said in John chapter 8, he was speaking to the Pharisees, he said, you are of your father the devil, who desire and the desires rather of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks, it's a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar, and he is the father of lies. Satan is the liar, and he is the father of lies. So he has a three-point plan to draw you into this deception. And let's just walk through these. Number one, Satan wants to just get you to tell a lie. He wants to get you to tell a lie. And maybe something as simple as exaggerating your latest fishing story. Or it may be exaggerating your latest deer you killed or something. You know, man, it was huge. It couldn't fit under the trees. You know, whatever. It could be lying about where you were. Maybe you got some young folks in here and you're living with your parents and you're like, where were you last night? Me? I was at the grocery store. And it might be bending the truth that way. Or it might be, you know, saying things like, man, you know what I told that lady? I told her, I said, you don't mess with me anymore. But we're like, did you really say that? Well, no, I wanted to say that. That's what I was thinking at the time, but it didn't get, you know, we think we don't lie, but yet if you really think about it, a lot of us bend the truth. It's a good euphemism. We bend the truth for our own purposes. Second thing he wants you to do is he wants you to lie to yourself. Satan wants you to lie to yourself. He wants to pull you in to where you start rationalizing your lies. When you start rationalizing your lies, you double down on it, and then you get caught into this vortex of trying to remember which lie you told. You know, the truth is always easier. It may not be painless, but it is always easier because once you start throwing those lies out there, they're like buoys in the water, and you got to dodge between and remember where they are and which one you told. But when you lie to yourself, you may be saying, hey, it's really not that big of a deal, man. I can do this. It's not everybody's doing this. Or you may be involved in some addictive behavior, and you're like, hey, I can quit at any time. Maybe you're lying to yourself. Maybe you're lying to yourself by calling yourself a victim all the time. You always play the victim role. Did you see what they did and their fault and they did this and they were thinking of me and they said about me? And you never think about yourself because you've lied to yourself so much that you're never at fault for anything. Golly, this is getting hard already. I feel like going, ooh. But come on, when I prepared this thing and studied it, I sat at the kitchen table and repented in tears. So it's not like I'm just throwing stones because I'm living in a glass house too, all right? And my windows done got broke this week, so y'all's can now, all right? But we think about it. Let's look at a biblical example. What about David? David in the Bible was a man after God's own heart, was he not? King David. As a young boy, you know, he grew up, he slew the bear, killed the lion, he killed Goliath, he's the champion of the Israeli armies. Then he comes up, he's the prophetic minstrel that plays for King Saul. Then he's brought into his own leadership role, and then on and on, he's anointed three separate times. Then finally, he comes to the height of the throne in the kingdom of Israel. He takes Mount Zion, it becomes the place of his citadel. There he builds the temple of God, or he prepares the place for it, sets the tabernacle so his son can build it. On and on, wrote many psalms. Some believe he created his own instruments. He was a psalmist. He instituted thousands of singers and musicians to play on Mount Zion 24/7. Just, I mean, on and on and on, a man after God's own heart. But then one season, when kings went out to war, the Bible says he didn't go. And I think the Bible drops that fact in there because it's important. At the time when kings go out to war, David didn't go out to war, but he stayed home. And when he stayed home, he walked out on his balcony one day and he saw a young woman bathing unclothed. And he lusted after her and he had his guys go get her and bring her to him. He committed adultery with her, of course. Her name was Bathsheba. What happens after that? He sent her home. He knew that she was married, so he found out who her husband was, and then he asked that the husband be released from the battle lines in the army and come back. So he came back and David said, listen, man, you've been great. I want you just to take some time off and go spend it with your wife. Why? Because David was trying to cover his tracks. So what happened? This guy was so honorable, he wouldn't do that. He said, there's no way I can go and be with my wife tonight when my brothers are out there on the front lines giving their lives. There's no way I can do this. Found out to be more honorable than David at this point. So what did David do? He said, well, okay, he got the commander of the armies in. And he said, listen, when the battle gets hot, put this guy out on the front lines. So when the battle is raging, this guy will be taken out. And sure enough, that's what happened. The battle was raging. They put this guy on the front lines and Bathsheba's husband was killed. David sent for Bathsheba and brought her to his palace. She became one of his wives and then, of course, was pregnant. One day, though, a prophet named Nathan came to visit David. And Nathan walked in before the king and he said, you know, I want to tell you a story. There was a man, a poor man, who had one little lamb to his name and that's all he had. Then there was this wealthy guy. I mean, he had flocks of livestock. But yet the wealthy guy received a visitor one day and wanted to prepare him something to eat, and he told his guards, hey, go down and get that one man's little lamb and bring it back. And they went and took the one man, all he had, and brought it back, killed it, and had a feast. David got so enraged, so incensed, that when he heard that, he stood up and he said, "Who is the man? Bring him now. We'll have his head." And Nathan looked at him and pointed his finger and said in Hebrew, "Ata ish, you are the man." And when David said that, I think all of his deception peeled off. That lying, self-deceiving trap he had been in just melted away. And he went to repentance. What did it cost him? It cost him dearly. He lost the kingdom. His sons rebelled against him. At least Absalom did. The kingdom would forever be split. I mean, catastrophic damage was done because of that sin. He had played in to this self-deception scenario. And we think, well, I've never done that. But yet, really, I want you to examine your life this morning. Really examine it. Because where Satan wants you to get is really in this third category. And that is, he wants you to live a lie. He wants you to live a lie. What does that mean, Hans? It means claiming to be one thing, but acting another way. To live a lie is claiming to be one thing, but your life doesn't reflect what you claim to be. You could be Mr. Christian, nice guy here today, having it all together, car shined up, family together, you're looking good, man, but you go home and you're wrestling with this porn addiction so bad that it haunts you every day. Or maybe your marriage looks all perfect here today and you're holding hands and got the baby in nursery and everything's copacetic, but yet no one knows that you're on the verge of just shattering that relationship and you're on the verge of divorce. I mean, it's amazing. I remember one time a great evangelist who Jackie and I used to really love to listen to preach. This guy became pastor after being an evangelist for many years. And he said, "Man, I started pastoring and people started coming to me and they would tell me my their problems." And I was like, "And you folk are Christian?" "Yeah. Yeah." And I've come more and more. I believe in sanctification and salvation and baptism of the Spirit and healing. I believe in all that more than I ever have in my life. But I also believe that the church is a bunch of broken people. Me included. And we're only here by the grace of God anyhow. And it's only when we get honest that God is able to come in and bring that healing to us. As long as we keep up this facade, we can never really break through to that healing God wants in our lives. Can somebody shout amen? Amen? Satan is a deceiver. He wants you to be pulled into this lifestyle of claiming to be something but not really living it out. See, I had a professor years ago. He's a missions guy. And he said, you know, there are Christians in the world. There are Christians that are born again and they're serving the Lord and their lives have been changed and they testify to that fact. And then there are what we'll call ain't no Buddhist Christians. That is, well, I was raised in a Christian country. I was raised, you know, a lot of churches around me. Went to church some growing up. I guess I'm a Christian. I ain't no Buddhist. So if I ain't no Buddhist, I guess I'm a Christian. But yet, according to the Bible, that's not what qualifies you to be a Christian. It isn't that you hung around some Christians once in your life, or that your mama raised you in church even, or that you grew up in America, which is predominantly a Christian nation. It isn't that at all. Jesus said you must be born again. You must have an experience that God comes on the inside and encounters you, and then your life is forever transformed. Paul talked about it in Ephesians 4. You put off the old man and put on the new. There's a change. There's a relationship. There's a dynamic now. The Spirit of God comes into you and rejuvenates your life, and now you don't always have to tell people what's happened to you. All they have to do is hang around you for a little while, and it speaks for itself. That's living the truth. That's truth coming out. Inside out living. Inside out living. But some people are hypocrites. Some people are just hypocrites. What's hypocrite? Saying you're one thing, living another. What's a hypocrite? Saying you're one thing on Facebook. but your life's blown all to pieces. Putting up the body that you don't really have, you just photoshopped it. This is mean, I'm sorry. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, come on. I'm just pushing you here to bring you to a point of repentance. That's where we're all headed, right? But come on, let's be who we really are, and let's say who we really are, and let's be honest about it. You said, yeah, but Pastor Hans, you've gone off of lying now. You're into like lifestyle, and that's not lying. You've actually stretched this. No, let me show you a verse. 1 John 2:4. 1 John 2:4 says, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a... Holy smoke. Let's read this together. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar. And John doesn't stop there. He says, and the truth isn't in him. Because if you're portraying yourself to be something that your actions are not showing, there's a discontinuity of truth. There's a disconnect somewhere. The circuit of electricity is broken somewhere. Something's not working. And that's what I'm just pushing you in today. Okay, let me dig down just one more rung. And I study this stuff and I think, okay, Hans, I think you're okay. I mean, okay. I think I'm okay. Then I got to this. Have we ever bent the truth because we were afraid what the truth would do to somebody? And I know we need to be wise in saying things and talking to people. But then I examined my own life. And I thought, man, sometimes I've shielded people from the truth because I was afraid to let the truth come fully out. Or maybe afraid of what it would make me look like. That's as real as I can get. But if you're there with me, you don't have to say a word. I feel your pain. Have we ever bent the truth to manipulate a relationship? Have we ever bent the truth just to try to protect people's feelings? Have we, you know, man... I don't know. The truth is always just the best policy. The truth is always the best policy. But our sinful nature, the old man, wants to bring us back into that deception. And it's often our first recourse. And I couldn't help but this morning preaching this at 9 o'clock, and I started thinking about all the times that I was caught in stuff as a teenager. My mom's like, what have you been doing? Huh? I'm good, man. Nothing. One night, I can't believe I told this. Golly, man, this is on live stream too. We can edit though, Tiffany. I know we've done that before. I went to a party one night with one of my friends. This is pre-Christian Hans mullet rock and roll man. I went to a party one night with my friends. And they were the ones actually putting the party on, truth be known. I got involved in that thing that night, and it started getting wild. So my friend says, hey, Hans, go call your mom, man. See if you can just stay with us tonight. So I went in a quiet room, and I called my mom, and I said, hey, you know parents are smart. Yeah. How many smart parents do we have out there? Yeah, thank God for you guys. So I call my mom and I'm like, hey, my friend wants me to stay with him tonight. She says, well, Hans, we're listening to the police scanner here at the house. And the police have been called to us party at so-and-so address. And I'm like, yeah, it was where I was. She says, no, I think you need to come home. Thank God for my mom, amen? Thank God for my, come on, somebody say, thank God for the mothers in this place. Caught dead. Ding, right there, man. You know, lying is never the best policy. It's never the best way out. Just speaking the truth is the best way to go. Lord, help us live this. It's the best way to go. And stop deceiving ourselves and stop deceiving other people around us. Because sometimes we think if we lie, it may keep us safe. Or if we lie, I won't get in trouble. But when we do lie, we're actually not safe. Because we're building our life on a set of lies that eventually is going to hit the wall at some point. Or maybe we lie to get people to think of us better, think they'll like me better. If we just fabricate something. And often, and I think this is where Hans has been, we often don't come full forward because we avoid conflict. And I can tell you from experience, if you avoid letting all the truth out because you want to avoid conflict, it just accrues interest and comes back to bite you on the backside. Lord, have mercy, Jack. You got to pray for me. Come on. Honesty is the best policy. Root to fruit. Say it with me. Root to fruit. Fruit always grows from a certain root. And if the fruit's bad, we need to inspect the root. And maybe the root is that we're not fully trusting God. Maybe the root is we're not fully giving Him all of it and trusting Him with all the consequences and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Preach that. Come on, somebody say, I want to be a truth speaker. Come on, in your marriages, become a truth speaker. In your relationships, become a truth speaker. Come on, in church and in your family, become a truth speaker. Just be one that lays it out there. Lies bring bondage. Truth brings freedom. Lies bring bondage. Truth brings freedom. Say it with me. Lies bring bondage, but truth brings freedom. So here's the antidote. Here's the life raft I'm throwing out to you right now. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the way out of this mess is to come clean before God and say, God, I confess I've sinned against You, and Lord, I need honesty in my life right now. I need wholeness in my life right now, and I confess all of my faults to You. And here's the beautiful thing about God. When you come into the courtroom of heaven, how many need an advocate in their life right now? How many of you need a lawyer in the courtrooms of heaven? The Bible says if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. If we fail, we can come to our advocate, our attorney in heaven. And here's the beautiful thing. Jesus goes on our defense. He becomes the greatest defense attorney we've ever had. I mean, He's better than Johnny Cochran and Effley Bailey and all of OJ's team. He's the best ever. And so He becomes our defense attorney, and then He's defending our case, and He's pleading for us. And then, wonder of wonders, He moves out of the attorney arena, and He moves up into the what British would call the dock, or beyond that, and He goes to the judge's chair, and He sits down as the judge also, and then He takes on the role of our judge, and He slams the gavel down, and He declares that we have been sanctified and justified and free from all sin, and He takes a big eraser, and He erases every fault and every failure and every sin and every bit of unrighteousness from our record, and says, now you can go free. Somebody shout hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I need some freedom. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, let's stand in this place this morning. Lift up your hands and say, thank God for freedom. Hallelujah. Thank God for freedom this morning. Lord, we give You praise. We give You praise. Come on, come on, no more lies. Come on, let's say it out. No more lies. No more deception. But I'm going to let truth be my guide. Father, I thank you this morning for every person in here. And thank what you've done. Thank you for what you've done in the worship service and in communicating the word here, Lord. Now I pray that the word goes and settles down in our spirits, God. And that you touch people tonight, Father. Or this morning, rather. You touch people and you bless them. And God, I know I was hard on some things, but Lord, I pray if there's people deceiving and walking in this and they feel the nervousness, the anxiety of it right now, God, we just take it to you. And I pray freedom for them right now. In the name of Jesus, just freedom for them. Freedom, 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 freedom. In the name of Jesus. Maybe there's some of you got to tell somebody something. You got to confess something to somebody. I just want to encourage you. Once you do, the shackles are going to fall off your feet and off your hands. It's going to fall down. Because as long as you hide it, as long as you carry that untruth, you're living a lie and you're in bondage. Father, I thank you right now for doing it, doing your work in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Hey, thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast of this service. I pray the word was a great blessing to you, and I know the word enriches our lives and transforms us. Romans says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and we know that comes through listening to the word and putting the word into action into our lives. You know, I was thinking just recently that the greatest decision I ever made in my life, I made when I was 16 years old. I'd only been to church a couple times, but I had a period of my life where I come under a great conviction, and God was speaking to me. I didn't know it to be the voice of God at the time, but now, all these years later, I know God was calling me. So I responded by opening up the Bible. My parents had a copy of the Bible. I'd never read the Bible. I opened it up and I began reading one of the Gospels. And as I read, the stories of Jesus leapt off the page to me. And they became so vivid and so alive in my reading. And it pushed me. It caused me to call out to God in prayer. I asked the Lord to just forgive me of all sin. I remember praying, God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to serve you. I want to be a Christian, whatever that means. And that's the beginning, and it's the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. If you're not serving the Lord today, and you'd like to make that decision and have that life transformation happen to you, you can do that right now, wherever you are. If you're driving in a car, if you're at work, if you're at home listening to this, you can make that same decision and begin with a prayer. Romans 10 says that we believe with our heart, but with our mouth, confession is made to salvation. So pray this prayer with me if you want to accept Christ into your life, and say it out loud wherever you are. So pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. Wash it all away. Take the guilt away and take the pain away. Come into my life and be the Lord of my life. Sin is no longer my master. The world is no longer my master. But Lord Jesus, I receive you as my master. Help me to live this life. Help me to walk this journey. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And you can say amen right wherever you are. And you can even rejoice a little bit and say thank you, Lord, because I believe a great transformation has happened in your life. So, if you'd like to join us again on a podcast, you can do that, obviously, through our social media sites or through the website. And please let us know if you've accepted the Lord into your life. We'd love to know. There's a way to contact us on our website and so forth. So until we see you next time, or until you hear us next time, God bless. And go forth and rejoice in the freedom that Christ has given you.